Good morning. This is Reverend Bob McLavy of the Presbyterian Church of Floyd, and welcome to this morning's worship as we study God's Word and as we hear some beautiful music during this season of Lent. As I've mentioned in the past, this season of Lent, I'm focusing each week on a different teaching of Jesus himself. I think it's important that as Christians, we can speak with authority about some of Jesus' most important teachings as he was teaching his disciples on his way to the cross. And so this morning we will have another one of those teachings. But let us begin with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for gathering us in your presence. During this season of Lent, we pray that you will instill in our hearts the importance, the true significance of this season, and what it means for each of us in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sometimes I think of preaching through a book of the Bible as a little like flying across the country in a plane. There are times when it's appropriate to fly high and get a broad view of the vast landscape below. But there are other times when it's appropriate to land the plane, to get out and to walk around, getting to know a particular piece of territory and taking in the scenery. And I think we're in a part of our journey now in the season of Lent in which it's appropriate to stop, to get out, and to stay a while. And so this morning we're going to spend some time in a particular piece of Jesus' teaching, a part of his teaching as he was working his way towards Jerusalem and the cross as he continued to teach his disciples. So this morning I've entitled my message, I Will Build My Church. It's based on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. So hear now the word of the Lord. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this passage is important because it contains the blessed confession. That is the crucial expression of faith concerning the identity of Jesus Christ that immediately received Christ's own blessing. It's the confession of his identity that he says came not from man, not from flesh and blood, but was the direct revelation of his Father to humankind. It's the foundational confession of our faith. It's the confession that affirms Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. We live in a world in which almost everything is temporary, and it's destined to pass away. We see this all the time, and it's a reality that we have to live with in everyday life. In fact, it's a reality that we see throughout human history. The great works of mankind, the created things that seemed so important to humanity and civilization at the time, the great kingdoms, empires, governments, nations, constitutions, laws, cities, institutions, all of them were subject to change and corruption and to decay and eventual loss. And if we place our ultimate hopes in these human things, we are doomed to disappointment and despair. What prospect do we have if we place our hopes in the fallible and uncertain hands of men? What is there in this world that can endure throughout the ages of human history? What is there in this world that we can attach ourselves to and invest ourselves in that will last forever? What institution is there in this world today that we can be sure, no matter what, will never pass away? Well, in this morning's passage, the Son of God himself tells us of the one thing in this world that will not fail, that one institution that will never pass away. It is the only institution within the sphere of human experience that will last forever, because it was not instituted by man and is not maintained by men. Jesus, who, as it had just been asserted in our passage, is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he makes the promise that upon that blessed confession of his identity, he himself would build his church, and that the very gates of Hades itself will not prevail against it. It might be good to stop at this point and consider what is meant by that thing that Jesus calls the church. The Greek word that is translated church is one that you might already be familiar with. It's the word ecclesia, the word from which we draw the English word ecclesiastical. It's a compound word, that is, it's formed by putting two words together. The root word is the Greek word kaleo, which means to call or to summon. And its prefix is the preposition ek, which means out of. And thus, ecclesia is an assembly of called out people. Jesus is the first person to ever use the word ecclesia to describe the assembly of his redeemed followers. And this morning's verse is the first time in the Bible that he uses it. And nowhere in the Bible is the word ecclesia ever used in reference to a building. In the biblical sense, the church is not a building, but is rather the called out assembly of redeemed people. I think that the best description of this called out assembly of people in the Bible is the one that the Apostle Peter used when he wrote to his believing Jewish kinsmen, and he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is this ecclesia, this assembly of the called out ones who have been redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and who believe and confess from the heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus speaks of in this morning's verse. It is this church that the Son of God, before he went to the cross, promised to build. And he here promises that it is the one thing on this earth, the one institution found among men that will never pass away. Jesus had asked a question of the whole group of his disciples. He spoke in the plural, as if to say, "But who do you all say I am?" But it was only one man, Peter, who stepped forward and gave the answer for the group. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So from then on, Jesus speaks in the singular to Peter directly. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for man has not revealed this to you." He says, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter is thus pointed out to us as the model confessor of Jesus Christ. He was singled out in Jesus' attention for blessing because it was he who uttered the apostolic testimony on behalf of the others. It was he who uttered the blessed confession that was given to them all. And it was then that Jesus went on to say more. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Now, Jesus gave Simon the nickname Petros, that is, the rock. It's not the first time that Jesus gave him this name. Very early in Jesus' earthly ministry, as you will recall, a disciple of John the Baptist named Andrew met Jesus and then ran off to introduce his brother Simon to him. And when Jesus met Simon, he looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And so this was Jesus' first encounter with Peter, who at that time, he said, will be called Cephas. And now he's saying, "You are Petros." He officially declares, "Peter, you are Petros," the Greek word for the rock. Peter had just then confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, at that moment of his great confession, was officially declared to be what he himself would later say that others were who similarly confessed Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, it says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up scriptural sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This, then, makes Peter the model member of the church that Jesus promised to build. All that are a part of Jesus' church must come to him in the same way, making the same confession of faith in him from the heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was a rock, but was also so very human. It was upon him that Jesus chose to turn the spotlight and to call him the Rock in response to his confession of faith in Christ. How grateful we should be that God includes fallible people like Peter and like you and me in his Church of the Redeemed. This gives each of us hope. How many lost and hurting people in this world cry out, "Who am I? What is my purpose? What is my place in this universe? Won't someone tell me who I am?" And here, no less than the Son of God tells poor, fallible Simon who he really is. If I may, let me draw a spiritual principle from this. You will never know who you truly are until you first know who Jesus is. Come to the one who made you for himself. Come to the place where you can affirm with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Trust him. Love him, grow to know him, and then you'll learn from him who you truly are. And now, if you will indulge me, we're going to do a little theology here, a little looking under the surface of what Jesus says. Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." What is the rock upon which Jesus promises to build his church? You know, we're tempted to say, "Oh, that's easy. Jesus calls Peter a rock, and then he says, 'Upon this rock I will build my church.' Peter is the foundation." But you see, theologically, it doesn't seem consistent with other scripture that Jesus would build his church on one fallible human being. And so we look to the Greek, and the word here that Jesus uses to describe Peter is a different word than he used to describe the church's foundation. He called Peter by the word Petros, which means a single rock. But to describe the foundation of the church, he used the word Petra, which means shelf or ledge of rock. So a Petros would simply be a small portion of a Petra. In other words, Peter is only a small portion of the foundation of the church. And you wouldn't know that just by reading the English translation, but if you read the Greek, you see the difference between the singular and the plural forms of rock. And so it seems clear that this rock upon which Jesus promised to build his church points to the very thing that he had just spoken about in the prior verse, that is, the blessed confession that Peter had just made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This solid rock confession was made by Peter, the singular rock, but the foundation is multiple rocks, all making the same confession of Christ. It is by this confession, modeled by Peter and the other apostles, that the real foundation is laid and believed upon by God's people throughout the church's age. Truly, on the basis of this confession, believers all around the world are members together of the household of God. In Ephesians 2, verses 20 through 22, it says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Anyone who is a part of Christ's church must also make that declaration that Peter made. How crucial it is, then, that we faithfully lift up this blessed confession to the world and make sure we hold faithfully to it ourselves. It is upon that foundation and no other that Jesus has promised to build his glorious church. That confession, once again, is you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. To the glory of God. Amen. Friends, this morning we have the joy of hearing a song by Cece Winan entitled "He's Always There," once again arranged and performed by our own Alan Vest. So here is "He's Always There."
turn your life around and change you from within. Waiting to hear, He's always there. He's always there. He's always there.
Friends, during this coming week, as we take time to think about Jesus and what it means as He is journeying towards the cross for your sake and for mine, let us take just a moment at some time during this week and make that great confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Thank you for listening.